Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Damn it, Tugger.
Competing really good out there.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Leg Up podcast. What do you guys... What'd you guys think of the match?
I thought Shadow Creek looked really, really good.
I competed really hard out there.
Oh, we have a lot to unpack here.
Here's
Randy,
what I'll say.
Randy's going to gloat.
Cynical Randy, let me be lead off with a little bit of optimism.
Let me be clear.
What else were we going to do today from that 3 to
100% agree.
You know?
That is the only positive thing I'm going to say about it is like I was actually entertained for like a good period of time.
You know, we had some friends over. It was nice. It was lovely.
If you took Twitter away from me, I don't think I would have been as entertained.
That's true. Twitter helped a lot.
That's a good take. Yeah.
Twitter was a performance.
We tried to take Twitter away from you. We're never allowed to.
I know you're not happy about the Ricky tweet.
He gets cranky when you take Twitter away from him.
You've been on very good behavior lately.
I have.
Yeah. You know? Discipline Tron.
Almost unnervingly.
Well, we are.
It's a little too quiet.
Do we want to
focus
on... The
night is always darkest before the dawn.
Do we want to focus on the positives? We're recording this Friday night. The match just ended. Phil won in 22 holes or whatever it was. Do we want to start with the positives or we want to...
I have a very specific positive.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
The blimp shot above the putt.
Yes,
the 100%.
That was cool.
Awesome.
That we was think really it cool. was a blimp.
Yeah.
Many people
could have been the predator.
Many
drone.
People suggesting it was a predator drone. But
that would have been
we
very
think it was
low
a blimp.
For
the way
a drone.
The way it was zoomed in, it looked like a blimp shot. But that was phenomenal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
That's a good positive.
Let's all look. It's Thanksgiving. Let's all go around. We'll say one thing we're thankful for.
We're thankful for.
Is that right?
Yeah. Sure. Do you want to lead off?
Yeah. Sure. I'll listen. It's an easy one, and I don't want to steal one from anyone else. I'm thankful for. I know we're biased. I'm thankful for our guy Shane Bacon. I thought he did a great job. He was working hard out there. I was pissed.
Underutilized, if anything.
I was kind of pissed that, and I don't want to get him in any hot water here, but like, I was kind of pissed that, they didn't go to him down the stretch more. I mean, it was like...
It was not what it was described as. We had heard it was going to be like, hey, he was going to talk to them about their careers and just kind of get the conversation going. And it was clear that Phil and Tiger needed help getting the conversation going.
Yeah.
And I think that was something that was pretty easily anticipated. And they could have been more prepared for that.
Yeah. And then
even making changes on the fly.
Yes.
And they kind of turned him into, looking at kind of revamping what the challenges were and what action was going on. And then it's kind of seemed like both guys like forgot about the whole challenge thing after maybe the 12th or 13th hole.
All right, this is getting serious.
Yeah, which...
We're not talking as much now. Huh?
Yeah, so then I guess that kind of cut Bacon out. But we're focusing on the positives. I thought he did a great job, and a huge step for him.
He did do a good job. I think a huge positive was hearing the conversations, and we'll get to a very large negative around those conversations. But I honestly think it's going to be really hard to go from hearing that to not hearing it anymore. And people that thought it was going to be groundbreaking, hilarious stuff between this two, that's on you, I think.
Change is very incremental.
Yes. Yeah. But the whole point of being able to hear these conversations it's not going to be groundbreaking. It's not going to be amazing, but hearing Phil talk about like it just dropped 10 degrees and the grain is a little bit into him and the thought process that goes into choosing a club, that was wonderful. Yeah. That's tremendous. And that's what golf is missing. Now, I think some people thought it was going to be just incredible ripping on each other, and it just wasn't. That's way too hard. I'm glad they didn't do that, to be honest.
That
would have
been horrible.
Mega forced and obvious. But being able to hear those sounds, and even just the little exasperation over the many missed putts, just like, oh, damn it.
Damn it.
Oh, I didn't hit it. Hearing Phil like huff and puff, like that is a huge missing aspect of golf. So for that matter, that was a huge positive for me.
Randy,
positives.
I'm going to take more of a macro view. I'm going to be thankful for Tiger's health. You know, how cool is that?
I think
this time last year, we didn't even know if he'd ever play any meaningful golf again.
And man, here that's he is. Cool.
That's say. Very cool.
Out on Thanksgiving, competing in a match against Phil Mickelson. That's cool.
I got one more thing I'm extremely thankful for.
Okay.
The MVP of the day, was Natalie Gulbis.
Oh, what a
I don't even say that in a snarky way. Like, she did her job. Like, I wish Jacobson would have taken a cue
That's
from
true.
Her book.
That's true. Are we
feels all, like a slight backhanded compliment.
I thought the lack of commercials was super engaging. It was hard to pick a time.
Yeah,
to,
I thought it was a little dicey like, that they said there was going to be no commercials, and then there definitely were.
There was like some 30-second ones. They were picture in picture. I'm fine with that. Yeah, right. I'm fine with that trade. But I was legitimately wondering like when to go to the bathroom.
You give them an inch, you know.
Yeah, it was a little bit. But they gave it away for free anyways.
That's so, true, yeah. I mean, what's in your wallet?
I
was going to say, I'm thankful for the chaos with the broken login. And
yeah, somebody's getting
I'm
fired.
I'm sure people's heads were exploding somewhere.
I got to think that was tested beforehand. You got to be ready to go on game day with like for the moneymaker to get your money in the door.
And it's one of the things that I was most nervous about coming in. I think was everybody always talks about the idea of streaming and how this is the future. This is what everybody's going to be doing. Yeah. Gosh, it's so easy. Cut the cord. This is so simple. I don't know why you guys are not doing it. And I'm like, God, you know, like realistically though, it's always harder than it's supposed to be. And I feel like I'm pretty decent, you know, with I have many friends who work with computers that could help me out. And
these two plucky little, you know, startups can't figure it out.
I haven't read the fine print, but is there gonna be some sort of like super classy class action lawsuit?
That'd be sick.
We paid and other people didn't.
Well, I think
have
that's
to.
A question for the CFO. Feel like you were taken advantage of? You know, we paid our $20 here at the Kill House.
Yeah. I tweeted at him. I hope to receive a response from Capital One. And I will explore all you have. Listen, you have my word. I will explore all options.
All remedies.
This week. Yeah,
all options are on the table.
To make the situation right.
Okay, cool.
Well, if not, then
there.
Some money goes to Phil and Tiger, at least. You know where it should go. So
that's true.
Are we ready? Are we done with positives?
Did you shout out the Foz already?
Big day for the Foz.
Yeah, what do we think of Shadow
know,
Creek?
I don't know if
general.
This was a positive, but big day for the Foz. Big day.
I think I'm thankful for the Foz.
I thought it was like
today and every day.
It was fine. This is going to be a theme, I think, with me is for what that was, like, yeah, fine. Who cares? Like, the whole thing is a giant spectacle. And
it was actually pitch perfect.
Yeah, I thought it was like kind of a perfect fit for that. And yeah, I mean it was whatever.
The course is fine. Yeah, it goes to match play, and they set it up pretty good for birdies, and they just didn't make birdies. And
Phil
the course is a setting.
Phil had one tiny little comment that again, and I know we'll get into this later, but you know you just couldn't explore anything that those guys had said. Like that's. Let me preface this because we're going to have a lot of telecast talk. None of us are TV producers. There's probably a reason why a lot of this stuff can't happen, and I apologize in advance for suggesting any of the impossible. But as a fan, it's like when Phil is saying – when you catch him saying little things like he was saying to Mark Russell when he was walking off one of the greens, you know, hey, I thought it was going to be soft out here, but the way the balls have rolled out, it's just we haven't really been able to hit it close. Boom, that's awesome. Now feed that to Bacon. Hey, we just heard Phil say this. Go ask him about this on the next hole and like get more of an answer. And that would have been awesome to hear them mic'd up in that way. And instead, it was
I'm going
to
do the Peter Jacobson
the
right now. I'm just going to talk
here,
over
let
you.
Let me set the stage. You know, yeah, it was just I thought it was really hard. You know, we're trying to really catch we're trying to hit it close and these greens are just too hard.
I think he gave
Is
him that putt.
Is this the coolest thing ever?
He should give him this putt.
I'm to the point where I don't think there should have been. Maybe there should have been something in the pregame show to throw it down. But don't even have guys in a booth or in a thing. Just have one or two on course commentators.
Yeah,
and they should have been
talking back and forth with the producer. Say, well, hey, ask him more about this. Get this.
Bacon could have emceed the whole thing.
Well, that was the other thing about Bacon that it wasn't until I want to say maybe even like the first playoff hole when Tiger. I think the first playoff hole was when he drove it in the. He's like had his feet in the straw.
Yeah.
Off the tee, and that was, I think, like the first time, unless I just missed it, when they were like, hey, Bacon, like Shane, what's his lie look like down there?
He
and
did do
like,
it a couple times during the round, but
but it's like, why didn't you do that on every shot? Like, that's like, what they'll do on the PGA Tour when they have, you know, they went, was it a playoff last week? 2 weeks ago? I don't know. Who cares? But it was
last week, Charles Howell.
But right, Charles Howell.
Pretty checked.
That
out.
Was
Charles
cool.
Howell. It was cool. They had one commentator with yes. Charles Howell's ball, one commentator with Patrick Rogers' ball.
Aaron Oberholzer.
Yeah,
and
it was like, let's yes. throw it back and forth. And it's like, okay, you're here. He has this lie. He's got this number. Like, why?
Well, it's kind of like, hey, if you want us to take this seriously and treat it like a real event, then cover, you know, then
yeah.
cover it as you would real golf shots and all that.
And that's where I think it comes to the crux of the problem is that it just felt like it was trying to be all things to all people. It was trying to
right the Charles Barkley,
to yuck it up for like the casual yeah. fans, which I totally get. And then it was trying to like, no, it's a serious match for the hardcore fans. And I'm like, this is neither.
And
this
I think Tron was all over. Tron was all over this, that like bringing Peter Jacobson was like the biggest worry. And it was because it doesn't get any more cookie cutter than what he says. And this is supposed to be the most different broadcast ever. It just was a terrible fit, and it honestly disrupted everything.
And I think part of it too. And I actually kind of, I like Ernie Johnson. Like I think he does a fine.
He does great work on, like NBA.
But even I mean,
even the PGA, he stays
totally
out of
like yeah, he's totally fine. Yeah. And
he's he's an alumnus of my.
Of the Marist School.
Of my high school.
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
The Marist.
Shout out to the Marist School. but I think he does a fine job, but. It just felt like – I kind of mentioned this to you guys. It felt like these guys just got in a routine where – or they just almost got like uncomfortable with the silence and fell back into like muscle memory. Because for the first hour – I know you mentioned it, saw how cool the first hour was. That felt like, okay, guys, everyone, we're doing something totally different. And it's okay to not talk. And it's okay to do this. And let's just do things differently.
Lean into it.
And then it became
– They panicked with that first Phil Tiger conversation.
It was, yeah,
it was awkward.
It
was.
Yeah, yeah.
That was like, sick, though.
Let yeah. it go. Yeah. Like, that's what we're tuning in for. Like, hearing those guys – and Julian Suri was here hanging out. And I just made the comment, like, it's not always interesting. He's like, dude, the conversations are never interesting. It's just us yeah. talking about, like, sports and other stuff. But you have, if that's what we want to be tuned into, like, just let that happen. And they panicked, I think.
Yeah, and then I think by the end of it, it just felt like they had gone into total muscle memory as far as how they would call a normal
right.
golf tournament. It was. It's so hard to explain, but it felt like the same exact cadence of what a golf tournament would be. It would be contact, and then it would be a quick reaction from Phil, like, oh, man, I didn't catch all of that one, and then it'd be the broadcaster. And it's like exactly what you'd feel like if you're watching CBS on a Sunday.
And that doesn't work when you have also two other mics that are live.
Yeah,
that
right.
was the thing. And
yeah.
that was kind of a weird thing, I thought, is managing the microphones with Tiger.
If you're going to keep them live.
Correct.
Then tell Jacobson to shut the hell up.
Yes, yeah.
I mean, exactly. straight up. Like, that was...
maddening. Like, it was honestly maddening.
After six or seven holes, it was obvious enough to where you would have thought, all right, this is clear... that we need to dial him back, that we need to readjust here, and that just didn't happen.
I was going to say the most maddening thing to me is, like, down the stretch, I would have loved for them to utilize Shane Bacon talking to the other guy while... while his opponent was playing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Hey, what are Phil's tendencies on this shot?
As Phil's standing over a 20-footer to win the hole, like, hey, Tiger, like, what do you think here? Like, you think he's going to... like. Give us those insights, which you're never going to get on a regular broadcast.
And maybe it's a learning experience thing where it's, you know, they'll do it differently the next time, or they went extra safe this time. But I made the comment to you guys. It was like I watch a lot of like music documentaries, and you can always tell the ones that are produced by the band and the ones that aren't. And that one felt like it was produced by the band, and it was like, hey, we don't want to ever feel uncomfortable with this, and like leave this out. And it's like, okay, well
that's the interesting stuff.
Yeah, I got really good access technically, but like I feel like there's a lot you guys are not telling me on what's going on.
It was
on
definitely
here.
Not the Metallica documentary.
It was not the Metallica documentary. It was the Oasis documentary.
That's why I was hoping the $9 million would, okay, if you want to play for that much money, then you have to give up.
Yeah.
Yes, you got to give us
control. And so on the flip side of that, there's a kind of a sort of backhanded compliment to be given as far as actually getting this thing off the ground, because there were so many people involved in making this happen. And so to actually get all those people rowing in the right direction and get them all to a place where they all felt comfortable enough to actually make it happen is legitimately impressive.
Correct.
But
however,
to make it feel like that, like it feels like it's designed by committee.
It felt like a first time. Like people were stepping all over each other.
Even then,
and
it didn't feel like there was any, like I heard all this shit about creativity and experiential from the dude that came on. And it's like, dude, we didn't see any of that.
Right.
Yeah.
They had some like betting odds on screen.
That was that was different. Cool. I thought like having cameramen on the greens
that was cool.
Is like a big step. And I get why you can't do that in
PGA
tournaments.
And I know the mic stuff was creative, but some of the stuff it just felt like they were reverting the same old pattern.
And maybe that's to their credit, like maybe that's because there's not that much more you can do. And that might be the case.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's hard to sell it as otherwise. Maybe this is like the last question that we talked through and you can think about it. But I mean, if there was another one scheduled for 3 months from now, would you?
Yeah.
Would you buy it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's our job.
Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm asking.
Well, is it kind of a fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice?
That's what I'm getting at.
Here's what they need. I we'll get into kind of some of the ways I can fix it. Like we talked about, it's got to be four people. Like one versus one is too tough to carry, and it doesn't promote like a as much shit talking as what would happen with like a 2v2. An alternate shot with like real money on the line, and you're not only playing for yourself, but also your partner.
Yeah.
That is way more intriguing than like I just didn't care who won
at the World Cup of Golf yesterday.
Were huge.
Like, I think four or five teams shot in the 80s. These are like top 100 players in the world.
The issue is, like, nobody cared who actually won. Unless you bet on one of the two, I did not have any care as to which one of these two guys won. I think that's an issue.
I do think, all right, going back to the positives, I do think that the camera work was good.
Yeah, it was cool.
You know, like, I think they did a good job of showcasing the course. They had some cool drone stuff.
But that's never the issue. Like, the camera work's always good.
See, I felt like they brought us.
I agree with you.
They did have more. You felt a little bit more like you were there.
I felt way closer to this. Yeah. And I honestly, it's having the two guys mic'd up and just hearing the little really dumb stuff, just even hearing them concede putts to each other, as much as that's not like that noteworthy, it adds to the overall viewing experience. I felt way more engaged with it rather than hearing guys talk. And if they would have let that happen more, it would have felt better.
Here's where I come out is. Let me pose this to you hypothetically, right? If we're going to set up a Phil versus Tiger match and we're going to have cool camera angles, we're going to get the cameras right, like what's literally the first thing we would think to do? Let's mic them up, right?
Yeah.
So like beyond that, they didn't do a single thing creatively. Like what was there that was different or cool or like made you think like, oh, wow. Like
because everything was tethered to the booth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that
was
the key problem, I think.
So I'm giving them no credit for creativity. Like the production, the suits that like design this whole thing, like literally we could have done a better job just by saying those two things. Like, hey, let's get the cameras right. Let's do everything.
Almost make it feel more lo-fi.
And then let's mic it up. And then if we just had no other audio, that's better than what was today.
I think it's where kind of feeling like what we said earlier, being stuck in the middle and kind of trying to be all things to all people. Like, you know what I honestly would have enjoyed more is just put like Samuel L. Jackson in the booth, like by himself. Like, I'd rather hear his stream.
Or him and Chuck.
I'd rather hear their stream of consciousness.
They could have put the NBA tonight. Like,
with Shaq.
Chuck,
literally.
Shaq,
yeah.
Like, guys
Kenny
who are good
Ernie.
At talking. Like
just
talking
have him
junk.
React to shit.
Like, how much better is that than just, boy, he really wants to make this one.
Yeah.
Really? Does he? Holy shit.
Like, respectfully, Peter Jacobson, Ernie, I love him. Like, Pat Perez must have been, like, on his best behavior because apparently everybody says how awesome he is. And But it's like, get guys up there who are willing and are good at, you know, talking.
Well, and
shit.
That's what we were talking about earlier is I think, and maybe I'm wrong, and I'm sure people will get after me if we are, but I feel like the inside
I
the NBA.
They'll get after you.
I feel like the inside the NBA guys or whatever it's called on TNT is, like, those guys are pretty unanimously
liked,
right? I mean, like,
right.
And it's because they don't try to polish it up too much and they don't speak in cliches and they just like have a good time with each other and you feel like you're watching whatever you're watching, like, you feel like you're watching it with like your buddies or like people on
it's real
on the couch. And so what's so funny to me is rather than go for in golf when you're trying to do the same thing in golf, rather than like trying to develop the same kind of thing as that, they get the guys from inside the NBA. like just try to make the golf version of that. Like, holy shit, guys, come on.
Yo, before we get any farther, Solly, do you have any idea what was in Mickelson's bag today?
We do have an idea.
I thought you might.
Aside from the PM grind.
He did have a PM grind wedge in the bag. He has 14 Callaway clubs, Rogue Sub-Zero driver, and Fairway Woods, X-Forged utility irons, and the Apex MB irons. He even had a new putter in the bag. I don't know if you guys noticed, the Odyssey Stroke Lab prototype putter. You guys totally noticed that, right?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think I told you that, DJ. I told you that one.
Well, Randy, you play the PM grind wedges. What? I mean, they've been kind of a game changer.
The PL grind.
I think you have to have a certain amount of skill to be able to
activate
them properly. Yeah, they are good out of the sand. I thought they were really like
it's like just, using an ATV like out of the
butter.
Sand.
Yeah, like a knife through butter out of the sand,
which we saw on 18. I don't know if he hit the PM grind out of that shot or not.
He would have had to.
I would think, right?
I don't think so. That's what the PM grind's for, right?
Gosh,
there.
Think about next time you've got a fried egg
it's
over
like the
water.
Mars rover.
Over the water with a waterfall looming for $9 million. You're going to have that PM grind. You're going to feel so much more confident, Randall.
He also uses the Chromesoft X golf ball, and you can check out his full What's in the Bag specs in detail at CallawayGolf.com. Let's get back to business.
Then the challenges.
They were let down.
You know, like I know they had to be pre-arranged and everything, and the gaming commission had to sign off on them and all that. But that felt super flat.
When they started, like the first couple were okay, and then when they started, like 100,000 if somebody makes a two here on this 380-yard hole, it was like, what are we even doing? All right, let's make it a million. Oh, that changes things. Yeah, congrats on both you both parted.
And
congrats.
And then Phil misses the green.
Yeah. God, and that was a major disappointment.
I think that was in reaction to any of the blowback on, you know, it's not their money that they're playing for.
I know.
And all of that. And that's where, again, it's like...
They try to patch
it up. Okay, you're trying to, like, be everything to everybody.
Well, I think going back to the live show that we did beforehand, I think that's an important distinction that you had about the money. And it's like, hey, this isn't... In PGA Tour terms or whatever, this isn't that egregious. It's
no, there was a couple issues. Hey, well, that was, like, the whole...
Hash that whole thing out.
Well, that was the whole thing that, you know... Honestly, that's like part of what made me more excited for the match was almost like my own backlash to the backlash, which was probably not a good way to go through life. But, you know, the people who are super fired up about the money and like, this is disgusting that they're playing for this much money. I can't believe they would do this. This is so insulting and it's egregious. And it's
shout out to all the British journalists.
And it's classless. And like, maybe... You know, the photo where Phil's doing the whatever the hell he's doing.
Standing next to the money.
That's not ideal. But if you think that, like, this is the first event in the history of golf to be reckless with how much money's going to guys that already have a ton of money.
Please pay attention.
A, you don't watch a lot of golf. And B, like, I don't know what you were expecting. Like, what did you think? There's a couple things. Number one, just for comparison, I said this on the live show too, but... You want to talk about like piles and piles and piles and piles of money, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing. I'm just
Scrooge McDuck.
I'm just saying that like this exists. Phil has won more. He won $9 million today for a single match. He has won $10.5 million, $10.4 million, something like that, of FedEx Cup bonus money without ever having won the FedEx Cup. So, Dustin's won 10.5. Like he's won another 100 grand more than Phil without winning the FedEx Cup. Next year, the FedEx Cup bonus money is going to $70 million. Like $70 million, everyone knows the winner gets 15 or 25 if they win both or whatever. But like the rest of that money just kind of like slips off into the ether, and you can look up who won it if you want. But of all the checks that are going to be cashed this year in professional golf, this is the 10th most egregious thing that's going to happen. Every week there is an anonymous guy who wins $300,000.
I mean, whoever wins Tiger's event in the Bahamas wins.
And all of that.
Almost $1 million.
All of that comes from like TV purses, which are propped up by these two guys. Like, yeah. So I know that's a gross oversimplification, but still, it's
a way for them to get their piece of the pie, and I'm fine with that.
For sure.
Right.
Right. Totally. Because when they tie with like William McGirt in an event, they collect the same amount of money from the event despite selling way more tickets to that event.
And
they've benefited plenty financially. Don't get me wrong.
Shout out to the Wofford Terriers.
But the same people that are mad about this, and this, like, I hope this doesn't sound insensitive, but the same people who are mad about this are the people who are like, you know, the World Cup should have higher ratings. I'm like, yeah, maybe, man. Like we
watch it.
Yeah, I wish it did, but like it fucking doesn't. So, like, what do you want, man? Like, this is how it works. If more people were interested, more people would be interested.
Yeah, you can't.
Welcome
just
to the fucking machine, man. Like, this is how the world works.
So you're saying people that hate the amount of money in golf really just hate capitalism?
Well, listen, that's a topic for another podcast.
Speaking of
Randy and I are starting a separate podcast, actually, that we can.
Speaking
we'll
of capitalism, the wheels up money shot at the end.
How good is that?
That just screams bunch of agents and marketing people sitting in a room that have no...
Yep, nothing wrong with that. Yep. Ship it.
Send it.
What's up next?
Here's the graphic.
Actually, I think the highlight of the day was the strip club call.
That was somebody good. So what I love about the strip club call, first of all, some fan just rolled by and says, "Phil, see you at the Sapphire tonight," was one of 400 to 500 VIPs identified by the event that yelled this out to Tiger or to Phil. And Phil gave him the thumbs up. That was the wonderful part.
He was in autopilot, though.
I'm not sure he caught the whole context.
I made the point earlier. I said, Phil needs to do this with someone other than Tiger, somebody that he can like actually push around a little bit verbally. He just can't with Tiger. It's hard to be an alpha with Tiger.
I'd love to see like Keegan Bradley way over his skis.
Yes.
Well, so that was like, that's kind of another thing. And this is another one where, again, like Karen Krauss wrote something for the New York Times, and I really like Karen's work. Like, by and large, I'm a huge fan. But it was a column that was kind of like, you know, if they really cared about growing the game, they should invite like an LPGA player. I'm like, yeah, in a vacuum, I completely agree with that sentence. But like, they don't give a shit about growing the game. They're trying to win nine. Like, it's such a mischaracterization to think that this was anything other than that.
That's okay. It's totally fine.
The other thing is if they invite a couple of LPGA players and then they don't give them, you know, they give them 5% or 10% of the payout, then it's like a total shitstorm.
Yeah, and that's where I get where
it's a no-win situation.
I get where these guys can get jaded and
tell the story about the press conference.
Yeah, there was a Vegas a Vegas like local radio guy or something at the press conference who came in really hot and very confident, and for that I commend him. That was cool. But
is this guy with the ponytail?
I don't know. I couldn't see him.
Was he in a morning zoo?
You seem like a morning zoo, like a morning sports zoo kind of guy. He might have been a drive time sports guy. But he said, "Hey, Tiger and Phil, I'm such and such from so and so radio show, and you know, I've had a lot of listeners calling in, and they're saying that this is more about the money than it is growing the game. What would you guys say about that?"
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah, dude. Like, what the hell? Like, how unfair? Listen, I'm not going to ride super hard for these guys. And, like, would I rather see $9 million go to charity? Like, for sure. But do I expect those guys to, like, have to do that at every turn for their entire life? Like, no. And also, it's like, yo, radio guy, like, why do you do your radio show? Is that to, like, grow radio? Local sports radio?
900 the machine.
Or is it to, like, a bunch of money get a paycheck? Charity. Like,
to clarify, DJ, are you against growing the game on the record?
Yeah, I was trying to find the words of what I was trying to say. That was it. You summed it up for me. Thank you.
Very against fake growing the game. That's for sure.
And that's what it is. It's almost like putting – and granted, Tiger and Phil, you know, I guess they could have been colder about saying, like, hey, that's not, you know, I don't want
to
raise your kids.
We're trying to wet our beaks here.
This is not my job. I mean, it's kind of shitty when people, you know, people hoist the grow the game thing on the wrong people. Like, that's pretty.
Has anybody grown the game more than Tiger?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, he's done. Like, he's done his part.
Guys, he grew the game.
Yeah. No, he grew it too much.
He grew it too much. Yeah. That's true. This should have been a shrink the game event. But it's, I don't know, man. It's a hard situation.
I thought the most captivating moments early, because they didn't happen late, were the unplanned side bets.
Yeah.
Where, you know, Tiger was like, hey.
Yeah,
you
the first tee had to be planned.
Whoever.
Like the press conference thing.
Whoever gets in, I forget what hole it was, whoever gets in the least amount of strokes, you know, 100,000 or whatever. Yeah. And then Phil was like, yeah, give me odds. And Tiger, you know, no.
Yeah.
Like that.
That was
to me. That was the most interesting.
Even if that was staged, they did a good job.
Right.
Of
yes. And if you go to like another match or even Phil against somebody else, you know, have the winner make what the winner makes. But like, I thought that's where the intrigue is. And like, how do these guys? How would they bet a round of golf between them if like there were no strings attached? Like they could do anything.
Yeah.
What really sucks about this is we're watching that playoff right in the dark. And, you know, if it wasn't this huge, crazy, made-for-TV spectacle, there would be like books written about how Phil and Tiger were playing from a putting green to the 18th green for $9 million. So that would be so cool. So why do we feel this way? And I don't feel guilty for feeling that way
at
all. I know, but like, yeah, it should have been way cooler.
And that's what it was. Just, I don't know, man. Like, I can't fault anybody that's involved in this, because like, we would have done it the same way, but it's like it felt like it was designed on a whiteboard or something, where it was what if this happened and then this happened and then this happened, and like you could just feel the whole thing was just all pushing towards this. I don't know, like it all felt kind of like phony.
Right, and I think it was faked. I think it was all staged.
Well, you had a good take that maybe that's why they didn't allow the public in.
Right, I think the VIP spectators were either crisis actors, probably signed NDAs.
I'm surprised the Fanatics weren't there.
Yeah, can we talk about the 95-yard hole?
Yeah.
Playout? Like that.
Please, lead us off.
We can literally do whatever we want.
It was exceedingly stupid. It was so dumb.
Tiger misses the green twice in a row.
Yeah, yeah. But like,
can we talk about Tiger's putting?
Well,
you know what?
Think,
it was
I don't
dumb.
Think we probably.
It was good. Dumb, but it kind of perfect, wasn't it?
Hellacious speed.
It was perfect. Yes, it was perfect in that. Like by the end, because I kind of went in waves, and I was into the golf, and then at the end though, it's just like, oh my god, this is so dumb.
And that's where,
like, why would you ever do this
again? Like, I feel like we keep coming back to the same thing, but it's like that's where it felt stuck. In between release patterns, so to take the words out of your mouth there. But it's like the whole thing should have been dumb.
Whole thing's dumb.
It should have either been
like mulligan recalls,
yes,
and left-handed holes to make it match
play. Wheelbarrowing the cash alongside them the whole time.
Or, yeah, I mean, really, if all the side bets are for charity, all right, great. Fuck off, gaming commission.
Yeah,
you're gonna tell us we can't.
That's true.
We can't bet a little bit and make it for charity.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't think about that.
Yeah, it's all just I'm with you, because it just felt like it was trying to be a serious match, and then it was like, well, now we're, I don't know.
Now we're playing from the putting green.
Now we're playing from the putting green. And
should we go to the fairway?
Ball,
no, we're gonna recut the hole and then go play.
And like, just thinking back though, like, was there ever a chance that match ended after 15 holes or something? Like somebody winning 4-2?
I don't know. Some of those putts dove low pretty quick.
Right?
That would be like, that would be not worth it.
It was
for
almost
these guys.
Like,
that's
we
fraud.
Have this shiny new toy, this cool idea. Like, we better, like, let's make sure we show it.
Well,
that,
all right,
but that would
I'm
be like
confused.
Fraud.
How was the pace of play so slow?
It's not a walkable course. That's the course is not meant to be walked. It's some of the stuff that that were errors, I think, was stuff that, as a very, very, very amateur audio producer, like, I worried about, like, how are they going to stop the mics from, like, fuzzing against their shirts? And that's what we heard the entire time.
Honestly, I think the thing would have been 75% better right off the bat. Would have been almost twice as good if Peter Stegosen wasn't
that's true.
There.
Very true.
Like that's the elephant in the room.
Well, the problem was we don't need context. Like, we can see everything
There's
that's
two
going
guys
on.
Guys hitting their own golf ball.
Yes, we can see the graphics on the screen, how far they are. We don't need anyone to like tell us, well, this is a difficult shot, or
there's
this
nothing too tricky up there. It's the Foz.
Yeah. So that was the frustrating part about the commentary, was that, you know, what was the point of miking them up if you were going to have the normal amount of booth commentary? I feel like we've covered that, but I don't know. I don't want to hear, and I hope people are tweeting like, I want my $20 back. Like,
no,
that was fair.
What you signed up for.
Yeah, that
and
was
listen,
fair.
There,
for 20
there
bucks.
Were a lot of people who genuinely enjoyed it, and like, that's great.
Well, that's cool too.
And that's where it's like, you know what? It was better than, like, way better than nothing.
I was gonna say, where does this rank in terms of enjoyable?
Well, the other thing about the money, real quick, and it kind of ties in, is there's like a weird fallacy that, I don't know if people thought that Capital One was like going to give them the money if they didn't give it to Tiger and Phil, but it like who cares if these guys get this money? Like who gives a shit? This is so much better than it's so much better than this thing not existing. And so hopefully they'll take, you know, these little, you know, take some things and do it better for something else.
I have a question for you guys. What do you guys have for future iterations? Who would you want to see?
Oh, God, I love that. Oh, I'm not even trolling Ricky or trolling Randy with this. Sorry. But I think Phil and Ricky would be like a legitimately good pairing that would drive a lot of interest.
I think you need a bigger personality, though.
No, as a team. And then you get two other
But I feel like you need like four people that are gonna like jab at each other and.
But like Phil will do that for that team. You know what I mean? And Ricky's good enough. Like Ricky can do. You know, he would get enough in. I think. Okay. I don't know. Listen, I feel
like you need more back and forth. Even if it's for that team, I feel like you need two guys chirping.
I think JT
together.
Would be good.
I think he'd be great at it. Like,
Rory
would be really good. I don't think Tiger's obviously. A great fit. You probably need Tiger, but I don't think he's a great fit for that.
I would have paid $20 today just to hear. Oh, Tiger. all of his. Oh, thanks. Phil, that's good.
That's good, Phil.
Yeah, we didn't even talk about Phil's gimmies.
Well, here's my question. Let me throw out a question then. Would you watch this format with anybody but the best players in the world? Like top 30 golfers in the world?
Like I would, yes. But would other people like.
I was thinking about Pat Perez there. Like, would I watch him in it?
Well, that's. Yeah,
part of it is, do you want to watch a 4-hour match? I'd watch a.
Yeah,
I kind of think
a 6-hole or a 9-hole match where the winner of the previous hole gets to pick the next hole, stuff like that.
You know what would be sick? Honestly, this is my answer: is a 9-hole shootout where you have 9 guys who start and it's like last man standing,
like a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, that would be sick.
I'm in on that. So where does this rank for you guys in terms of enjoyable things you watched in golf this year? Like we got together for the majors this year. Only pretty much and watch golf like all of us together.
I think it was more enjoyable than the final round of the Players.
Well, and so it's interesting because, and it's really hard. And we should have said this earlier because it's important. But like the golf sucked by any measure. Yeah. Like
correct.
The golf was not good. So that's nobody's fault. And that's producers if they would have lucked into really 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 good golf, we probably would have had a different conversation. Correct. So. That's a hard hand that they were kind of dealt.
Very fair.
By choosing Tiger and Phil, who are coming in not
playing
great.
Tigers.
I know.
That's why when I say the Players was bad this year, it wasn't through any fault of.
Yeah,
right. It's just a runaway.
So it's hard, and it's hard to not just like pick the tournaments that were the most exciting competitively. But I mean, it was when you think about like the majors, when you think about. I don't know. I'm just throwing out what's coming to my mind, but the WGC Mexico was
that was
awesome.
Phil JT helped make that really interesting.
That was top 5 tournaments of the year.
Yeah.
But so,
but like, what else is on that list?
It ranks like just below the majors in terms of what I would sit and watch for a long period of time. I'm not sitting and watching 4 hours of the.
But the thing is, are you going to sit and watch that again and again and again?
That's a good question. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it was more.
I'll give them a chance to improve on a few things.
Yeah, I don't know. I think my bar would be pretty high next time.
Yeah,
I think the elephant in the room is. Excuse me.
Besides Jake,
I think the elephant in the room.
The elephant in the room has been spoken for.
Well, you guys are talking. I'm thinking like, who would I like love to put down money to watch in this format? And there just really isn't anybody. And I think that's you want to talk about an issue with golf. That's an issue because everybody's marketed
so sterilized.
As vanilla, and there's not a lot of real personality.
Well, and it's hard, and the people you would put forward, like financially, it wouldn't make sense for someone to put on this big production.
The banter for them advertising the banter, that was a huge letdown. Like they didn't even try. Like they didn't even give any needle each other at all. What was the best jab somebody threw? Exactly.
Yeah,
I mean Tiger said, "Oh, well, Phil's hitting a wedge like."
He's got to take a little off of it.
That was a perfect
but that was
example.
A jab at himself.
No, I know. That was a perfect example to say, just like that wedgie hit at Marion in 2013.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's where it's so hard because it's like, man, you can't expect – like these guys are the best in the world at one thing that they do. You can't expect them to be like TV personalities.
No,
too.
I agree.
You
know, but then don't –
You're setting them up to fail kind of.
In the lead up, they talked a lot about how they're going to needle each other and jab each other.
So who would you make these productions for? If you were in charge of the universe, would you make these high profile one-on-one matches for $20 for trying to get a big audience, or would you be willing to pay $69.99 for like two guys?
Curious number, Randy.
That's
first of all, nice.
$69.69 I would pay.
But like maybe like two mini tour players who legitimately will talk like all the shit to each other. Or like a Spence Levine versus somebody.
DJ said it today.
But then tailor it for Elk to be the encore. But where I'm going is like tailor it to like, hey, we are going after the diehard of the diehard golf fans.
I think that I think it just has to be, like, I don't think there's enough diehard of the diehards to carry it. Like, no matter what you charge, you know? And I think you have to cater to the larger audience, like the casual fan. And if you're going to do that, like, dude, you have to have.
Well, then people like us are never going to be happy.
Which is.
Oh, we are never going to be happy.
Well, that's probably
and I guess that's my point is, like, it all feels so futile because we're too close to it.
The PGA Tour has definitely taken that approach already, in that we've got your hardcore fan. Let's continue to try to reach all the casual fans because the hardcore fan's not going to leave us. That's the message. That's the approach.
They're basically daring you to leave.
Yes, correct.
And like, I mean, the PGA Tour account tonight, they've since deleted it after Doug Ferguson put him in a body bag. said epic period line epic period, and then Ferguson said, yeah, what are you guys gonna say about the President's Cup then? This was epic. I mean,
I just
brutal lack of awareness.
I think to your point, Randy, it has to be, and maybe this is, I don't know, maybe this is unfair or whatever, but if there's no like chippiness to it and there's no drama to it, then yeah, like, I'm not going to care who wins. The reason I care about McGregor versus Mayweather, if you do, is because
those guys sell the fight.
Yeah, and so I'm sure boxing purists got on their podcast after that and were like, this is fucking stupid. Like, why are, like, yeah, of course he won. Like, why are we doing this?
I think what I would tune in to watch would be if during this match Bacon was talking to these guys and drawing stuff out of them, saying, you know, asking them questions, and it's almost like a living podcast or a living, you know, getting them to tell stories. You know, hey, what's the first time you and Phil played together in a pro
phenomenal
event?
Phenomenal. Yeah.
All that stuff, and just keep that going and tell them that on the front end. Say, hey, this is part of the ask.
And that's where.
But I'm saying that doesn't work if it's not Tiger and Phil.
But to my point, like, I don't think that they satisfied those people tonight, anyways. Like, I think maybe I'm wrong.
And if you want to grow the game,
well, I got a text from my brother-in-law, who's a huge golfer. His family was riveted. His kids loved it. So I'm saying it might have hit the mark with the casual fan.
But let's say you want to grow the game. What's going to grow the game more than Tiger talking about coming up to instead of Peter Jacobson filling time with drivel,
sure,
have Tiger talking about his, you know, first time he played with Phil in a pro event, or.
Well, what I'm saying is then, like, once you do that once, it's gone.
That's fair.
So if you bring Tiger back against, you know, it's like what I'm saying is you're always going to be hunting
the next thing.
I just think, like, there's just not enough fish in that sea to keep fishing there over multiple broadcasts.
And that's another issue. But hey, let's focus on making this one as good as it can be, and then cross that bridge when we get
to
it.
Well, back before this match started, I said the most important thing about this is going to be how this affects normal week to week golf, right? Because these are going to be anomalies; they're going to be rarities.
Sure.
It's not going to be like this isn't going to take over golf. And if today wasn't abundantly clear that we need players mic'd up in some capacity. Yeah. I don't know what – that was the one really strong positive we had. I don't know what else there's going to be. Like, that was the example. And, again, going from that to not having it is going to suck. Like, that was the best look inside the ropes that's ever been probably shown on TV.
We
since,
haven't
like,
talked about
game.
Side sauce yet.
Well, to your point real quick, though, where what will be picked up, though, in future years on golf telecasts will be all the gambling stuff, especially with it being legalized.
The probabilities and all that.
No, I'm with you.
And then the side sauce thing. That was a perfect example of something like the life cycle of something.
Yeah.
Being within 20 minutes, they absolutely murdered that.
And why are they bringing in these, like, B-list athletes? Like, nothing against – I say that as, like, you know, who the fuck am I? But, like, you know, CJ Crone, let's show his tweet. And it's like,
How about the Justin Rose tweet they showed?
Like,
watching
the match.
Show me somebody funny on Twitter. Like, show me, you know, shout out.
Max Homa.
Or, you know, who are some of our, like, show me Lou Brown or, you know, like, show me actually something funny.
I think our version of funny and their version of funny is very, very
the perfect analogy.
But
for
I
the
think
whole
they
thing.
Have a corporate version of funny, and I think that's the
and
whole
that's
problem.
Where that's where I think it is. And this
was supposed to be different, and it wasn't
exactly. Yeah. And this is where I think it's been like professional golf and professional golf on TV has been like so on. It maybe this again, maybe this isn't the case, but the way it seems here is these guys have been so on autopilot for so long.
So true.
A lot. because of the two guys we just watched play golf, that like I don't know that they're that good at knowing what people want.
I don't think they know what the product is.
That's what I mean. Yeah. And that's where it's like when you're like, no, we're going to innovate. It's like, yeah, sweet. Like what?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah. So actually, you know what?
Verlander tweeted.
Let's mic him up.
There was 3 minutes of Charles Barkley like, yeah, we are going to do a, it's for 100K.
Well, they should have got Charles ass. Yeah. Charles would have done it.
Yeah.
And then like Ernie stepped on it and messed up the bet. And it's like, Charles was about to go play the first hole for 100,000.
Well, we talked about that as an undercard.
Yeah.
Legitimately, I would have.
The fact that there wasn't an undercard.
I would have watched Charles Barkley and Samuel L. Jackson play an undercard. Like, just cut to them every 30 minutes. Whoa. Just be like, oh, here's three shots that they hit. I'd be like, oh, sick. That's kind of fun.
What I want to know is I don't think that we're not going to sit here and claim to be experts, but what I think we are good at within this room is being having an understanding of what people are into. Like, we listen to a lot of feedback.
I think
we monitor.
We just have a bullshit detector.
Right. But we monitor authentic. What people are saying out there. Yeah. How has that not happened at all in
this world? Here's what I will say. I was thinking about this, and it reminds me a lot of. I say this frequently, I think, but it reminds me a lot of the Pebble Beach tournament, where when you watch it on TV, you're like, dude, this is brutal, and I don't care what Gary Muledeer has to say, and I don't care about Kenny G's handicap at like whatever golf club he plays. Like, I fucking don't care, man. But when you're there, people super care, and they're like, you know what? This is the best thing
we saw
that
Ray
has
Romano
ever existed, and like. Both things can be true. Like, that's totally fine. I'm sure that the people who were there, and I'm sure that the people who put the event together, and Phil's team, and Phil's family, and Tiger's agents, and Tiger's people, like, I'm sure they thought it was super fun. And that's totally valid. But as, like, a hardcore golf fan, I was like, dude, this is
But I think it's important.
So to answer your question, like, you're just, like, too close
to it. I
think
you can do one without
offending
the other.
Important distinction there.
Yeah, for sure. I don't.
I don't think we approached this like hardcore golf fans today. Like, I don't think we wanted to be upset about
this. We just wanted to be entertained.
Exactly.
If you go back and watch the live show, it is pretty much 15, 20 minutes of just glowing about, like, how excited
I'm gonna
watch.
I'm going to watch the World Cup of Golf tonight to get my golf fix.
Yeah. Like, we wanted this to succeed. I was excited for it, and I still maintain that I was entertained. I think it was disappointing, definitely. But this is not coming from, like, stuck-up hardcore golf fan that just can't adapt to the new style. It was just a letdown, I think, even at the lowest entertainment
level. I'll tell you what needs to happen. I think the European Tour needs to say, all right, give us a crack at this. Because I think they'd have a much better shot at pulling it off. Get Rory and...
Rory's not a European Tour member.
I know. That's another... That makes me mad. I don't know who you'd get then.
Get Julian Suri. You get those guys.
Well, on that note, just pay attention to No Langups while World of Golf is coming up very soon.
Well,
we have the players are mic'd up.
So here's... Well, yeah. And that's where it's like... No part of me, I promise, no part of me is like, yeah, watch how we do it.
Yeah.
However, if you are a hardcore golf fan and you want to see like nothing but basically like stupid jokes and players mic'd up and whatever, we are releasing a thing called Wild World of Golf. It's 9 holes with Curtis Luck and Hank Lebiota, Tron and Solly playing Wolfhammer. Randy's on the ones and twos as our on-course reporter. Yours truly will be up in the booth, keeping the talking to a minimum. And I don't know. Like, I think
and it's not a one-time thing. It's going to be repeating franchise with different players, different formats, different.
Yeah. If anybody is listening who wants to be on, you know how to find us. But I think when you do watch something like that, again, I'm absolutely not saying like that this is the recipe or anything like that. But I think you can see what it looks like when people don't take it so seriously, and when you get outside of like the reverential kind of tone that you have to have around these things, it will free you up to do a lot more, I think. I don't know. That's where, dude, you know what changed my whole outset on this was Solly turned me on to I don't remember what it's called, but it was a Netflix thing that was basically like really quick explainers.
Oh, it's called Explained.
Explained.
It's
a
Netflix series.
And there was
the
cricket one, and it was basically talking.
The concept of the show is like a 15-minute explainer video. Like, here's what this thing is, and here is something about it that's interesting.
And I know absolutely nothing about cricket, so this was perfect. So I'm watching it, and they're explaining all these problems that cricket went through in the 1920s to 1950s, and it's basically every problem that golf has now.
Yes.
It's like, you know, all the people were just like too like old and white. and stodgy, and it was like too hard to play.
It was like 5 days long.
And it took too long.
Break
and, like,
for tea?
Yeah, yeah. You had to have tea breaks. And then basically, like, something, I forget when it happened. And
they created like a it's called T20, I think.
Yeah,
and it's
like that.
It's, God, a 3 hour game.
You know,
yeah,
so much more about cricket in her.
But it's like a 3 hour match, and it like revolutionized cricket, and it made it go on this huge boom in India and Pakistan and places.
But
and
it just took the things that people absolutely loved about it and like it pumped them full of HGH, you know what I mean? And so I'm
but
sure,
I think going back to our earlier conversation,
you're totally,
if you bring some guys that, yes, people haven't heard of, and if you do things a little differently, it's like, well, nobody would pay to watch this. Well, yeah, maybe at first.
You're right.
But if you do it well,
you're right.
You gotta
totally
play the long game.
But yeah,
invest in yourself.
To counter, like, they didn't do it well, in my humble opinion. It was like, if today would have been just like loud and whatever and something totally different, and I was like, oh, I'm too old and I don't like this, I would totally happily say that.
I got a couple like random observations. Tiger, the way Tiger puts his hands on his knees
when he misses a putt,
it's so weird how he puts his knees together. Is that weird to you guys?
Not really.
I listen, I'll go with you. Yeah, sure. I hadn't given a ton of thought until you pointed it out.
What else you got?
And then just the bunker that Phil hit it into.
That was 18.
Yeah, like, why? You know, it's on the other side of a creek.
Well, we had been talking about, like, why does that bunker exist? And then Phil hit it in there the next time around. So that was kind of
maybe the Foz was playing chess. But
yeah,
but yeah, that was a little bit of, a little bit of maximalist golf architecture there.
I don't know. What's your closing thought?
Listen,
optimistic?
I'm glad it existed. I'm glad we could spend our Friday afternoon watching it together. I thought they got a lot of it. Oops. Just it didn't advance the golf telecast anywhere.
Let me ask you this. Are you optimistic about this or pessimistic about this?
Overall pessimistic, I think.
They'll squeeze a few more things out.
I'll continue to watch them. And there's enough that they can improve on. I actually don't think it's that far off. I know Randy really thinks it's very far off, but I think a ton of difference can be made. And not, I get that you have to promote it like it's a boxing match, but not putting so much pressure on the players to have banter back and forth, but just letting them be and letting us walk the fairways with them. And I think that's the best thing that you can do, is give us that kind of access. And they cheated us out of that, I thought.
I think making it a team thing.
Yes,
too.
Yes.
I also feel like, though, that should have been so obvious. And if they didn't do it for this one, who's to say they'll ever do it?
Yeah.
So I get it. They could do some things that theoretically aren't hard, and it would improve it immensely. And I guess what I'm saying is I have no confidence in them to actually do it.
You know where I think would be a great place to go do one of these would be Trinity Forest.
Yeah.
And basically have 2-on-2 and have whoever won that hole gets to pick the next tee box and basically gets to set the next hole. Like, there's enough strategy and variables where you can set the next hole up to.
But that's where it's hard, and that's where it comes back to Randy's point, I think, where it's like, if you want to get the mega hardcore golf fan, 100%, like, I'm so with you. And maybe that's where it's like, you know, this isn't like a media, you know, studies class, but it's like, maybe that's where a smaller, you know,
well, maybe
plucky golf ball goes.
Right, that's why I'm like,
because like
I'm a taking
big
notes
budget,
over here.
A big budget thing is never going
to
do that.
Right. Well, part of that too is, hey, let's walk before we run. Kind of let's prove this concept. And I guess it's tough to prove with lesser names and stuff.
And that's where it's like, I don't know what you kind of proved today.
Right.
Yeah.
God, I feel like we're all together.
I mean,
here.
I bet Mickelson's on his plane flying back to SoCal right now. I don't give a shit. I've won $9 million, but like.
So that's why I was saying this on the couch. But like, my overall review, if someone was like, "What was your takeaway?" I'd be like, "I don't know, like whatever."
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. Like, I'm not happy. For like, I don't care that they won that much money. Like, that doesn't make
there was
me,
no
like,
nervous
feel
in,
good.
There was no nervousness.
I'm not
for
angry.
The outcome.
I'm not angry that
totally
they won
agree.
That much money. I'm not like pissed that it was really bad. I'm
I
not
feel,
happy that it was really
cheated.
Good. Yeah, I just
like if they
like,
those,
whatever.
If those two were battling in a major just now, I'd have been like crying.
Yeah.
Like, if that was going to, well, one, if they were hitting off a putting green onto the 18th, I would have been crying in a different way. But it just doesn't have the same. I didn't care who won, and that is a huge issue with it. I think like I should be rooting for somebody. In
or
some
maybe
way.
Not.
The only
if they would have done it differently with the betting, where. If they made the betting the thing and not pumped like the $9 million jackpot, then it's like, well, I don't really care who wins, but I think it's interesting as hell watching these guys wager throughout a round.
DJ, you had a great point earlier. You're like, hey, send them to the top of the rock, have them play the par three course.
Well, yeah, that's right. Well,
whoever gets a hole in one makes $60 million.
Yeah, that's where it's like, that's where I'm kind of saying the same thing. I mean, it's like, whatever, you know, like make it more serious or make it more goofy, but you're like stuck in the middle right now.
I agree.
Pleasing every, trying to
more goofy.
Everybody.
I vote more goofy.
Yeah, I'd be totally down for more goofy.
Is the thing at the end of the day, I mean, the skins game, like bringing back the skins game and doing it properly would maybe be the right ticket.
And I'll cop to this too, is like, I don't know how you do it properly. Like, I don't know really what the answer is. Because to your, like, you're spot on, Randy. It's like, I know how to do it if you want to attract like serious golf fans. Like, I think we could be pretty good consultants on that. But I don't think that's good for the bottom line. And if you want to attract a huge swath of like casual golf fans, like, I don't know how to do it unless you fake a beef that's like, this guy hates this guy, that this guy's good, this guy's bad, and he said a bunch of bad things about dogs, and this guy loves dogs. Everyone tune in like to see if the good guy wins or the bad guy wins.
But you know what?
Like, what else do you do to like get a shitload of casual fans?
You know
to
what
sit
cool?
for a 5-hour golf round?
No, you don't do anything. There's no market.
If you that's what I mean. If we all knew like the 12th hole was going to be the hole they play opposite handed, and like, did Phil go play that practice on that hole with opposite handed? Yeah. And like one little wrinkle like that would have been what happened on the 12th.
And then
hole
all of
today?
A sudden,
what happened?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
No
idea. Like throw something like that in there. How much more fun does that make it?
But then you get the other side where all the media who's supposed to like publicize it, then they're gonna be this is an absolute joke. These guys are playing for this much money, and it's turned into a circus.
It is a circus.
I'm like, it is a circus.
Lean into it.
It is a circus. Yeah.
I mean, I'd watch a skins game with like, because the downfall of skins game was it just stopped attracting like the
person.
The money on tour just, you know, grew so much that they couldn't keep it up. But like, you know, I'd watch Reed, Poulter, Spieth, and JT playing a skins game together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, or Tiger, Stephen Ames.
It didn't have to be the 9 million. The 9 million added nothing to the viewership.
But no, it didn't add anything to the viewership. But it got Tiger and Phil there, so it's like I don't fault anybody for making it 9 million. I don't fault them for expecting 9 million. Like, it literally is what it is. They are who we thought they were, man.
I think my lasting thought is,
if you want to crown him, Sally, you go ahead and crown him.
Is why does Tiger tee up his lob wedge so high?
That was weird. Yeah.
They're going to resod that whole putting green.
I'm
going
to defer to Tiger on wedge play. So. My wedge play is not great.
All right. On that note, I think we're good covering the match. Happy Friday night, I guess, from the Kill House. We're going to watch Oklahoma and West Virginia definitely hit the over here shortly. And, hopefully we didn't tread it too badly. I think fair. We were fair. I feel very good about everything we said. So, yeah,
cheers.
Crack on.
Cheers.
Cheers, Warren.
Be the right club. Be the right club today. Yes!
Johnny, that's better than most. How about him? That is better than most. Better than most!